Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 6, Number 6. In the last edition of SNU, I discussed the effects and use of alcohol. I consider this substance, based on simple observation of human behavior, to be the real gateway drug. What does that mean anyway, gateway drug? Does it imply that the use of a certain substance leads to the use of something more damaging or toxic? The term gateway drug is often used by governments, pressure groups, and the media to describe the scientifically controversial concept that using one soft, non, or only slightly addictive drug will lead to the use of other so-called harder drugs and the associated criminal and social consequences. The first drug used is thus described as a gateway to further abuse. Alcohol certainly fits this description. It can be and is a serious problem for many. For others, it represents nothing more than an opportunity to simply relax and chill out. So have a beer. Have a toke. Relax. Don't be violent in your action, and if you are not violent, then whose business is it? So let's move on to the next substance in this series, where we're reviewing recreational substances, and examine the effects and use of cannabis. Marijuana is the variety of cannabis grown in the Western Hemisphere. It's typically referred to as pot, grass, weed, Mary Jane. It's got all kinds of vernacular terms that are used interchangeably by different groups of people. I remember in Hawaii it was called the kine. Cannabis is the general term applied internationally to the Indian hemp plant, Cannabis sativa. The active ingredient, delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, or the acronym THC, was first isolated and synthesized in the 1960s. It is one of 60 to 100 cannabinoids identified in the plant cannabis. Cannabinoid biology has become a significant area of interest in biomedical investigation and research. For example, some recent research has defined the presence of a cannabinoid receptor in the body and the existence of an endogenous cannabinoid called anandamide. This means that this is inside the brain and that there are receptors established in the brain that exist inside the body that have the receptor capacity to receive cannabinoids, whether or not you've ever smoked the stuff or not. So the research is showing that cannabinoids have affinity for various receptor sites in the brain, and it is conceivable that synthetic cannabinoids developed in research could be developed as healing medicines for treating drug addiction and psychiatric disturbance. I think that's kind of cool. These new developments have provided an opportunity to examine the physiological and biochemical events underlying the use and abuse of cannabis. THC has many interesting properties, and unlike tobacco, cannabis can and does provide certain medicinal values when smoked or eaten. In its pure synthetic form, THC has been compared to smoking marijuana. You know, you swallow a synthetic tablet that is engineered in a lab versus smoking the natural plant. The outcome of either form regarding behavior profile is essentially the same, but it seems as if there are naturally occurring adjunctive elements in the plant that soften the blow and that weaken or lessen its potential toxicity. So the most toxic form of marijuana is a concentrated synthetic form, and this is the form that's often used in the research to demonstrate that it is toxic. And certainly we all know, based on the bell curve analogy, that anything, oranges, fruit, plants, anything, taken in excess can be potentially damaging. So we're not even going to go there. Everyone knows that too much of anything is not good. The fact is that we're talking about moral issues here. Some people believe that any amount of these substances is bad and therefore is damaging and therefore is entitled to incarceration and imprisonment or even death, like in Texas. A study published in Public Health Nutrition examined the dietary and nutritional habits of 11,000 marijuana users between the age of 20 and 59. Those who smoke marijuana regularly consume 24 to 40% more calories than non-users, mostly from salty snacks, cheese, and alcoholic beverages. This phenomenon is more commonly known as having the munchies. Despite the greater calories consumed by marijuana users, though, the body mass indexes of users were no higher than the non-users. And the reason why? Smoking marijuana acts as a thermogenic response modifier. Okay, now, marijuana is more than just about getting high. Many cannabis consumers are often part of a silent but recognized distinct culture of individuals who believe they are entitled to use cannabis at their own discretion without legal intervention. Many of them are professionals, high-income earners, successful business entrepreneurs, and responsible taxpayers, but you'd never know it because they hide that fact. Strong social values regarding drug policy, the war on drugs, medical marijuana, freedom of choice, and alternative health care are often shared in common, along with laughter, music, concerts, films, and bonding with friends. Smoking marijuana is very sociable, and generally speaking, getting together with a group of friends and smoking a joint, it tends to be a quite enjoyable process, like listening to music and having a good rap session and just kind of expanding your minds together and having some fun. Unlike alcohol, the use of marijuana is not typically associated with violent or obnoxious behavior. In fact, it has been said that if everyone in the entire world just stopped what they were doing for just a minute and smoked a joint, the world would be a kinder, less hostile place. So come on, everybody, lay down your arms and your weapons, your knives and your guns and your clubs. Roll one up, have a smoke, and relax. THC is lipid-soluble and stored in the liver and body fat. This is the active component, the stuff that gets you high. The more you smoke, the more you store. THC is present in all parts of both the male and female plant, but is most concentrated in the resin, known as cannabin, obtained from the flowering tops of the female. Hash is made by collecting and drying this resin. So hash is very potent. It's a concentrated form of the resin of the cannabis plant, cannabis sativa generally, and it comes in a whole variety of forms. It's far more common to find hash, say, in Asia and Europe than it is today in, say, North America, where the plant now is much more common and accessible. Heavy pot smoking has been shown to inhibit various cellular processes of the testes, including testosterone synthesis, nucleic acid synthesis, local protein synthesis, sperm motility and production. And I'd like to know what is meant by heavy pot smoking. We're talking like 18 joints a day or 3 an hour. So when you read this stuff, they need to qualify that. And I think that, you know, monkeys that are attached to masks where they're forced to inhale like a pound of weed a day, that's not, you know, a good, relatively accurate way to determine the effects of smoking marijuana in humans. Because I think the stuff is basically very soft, very gentle, and benign when used like, say, any other substance. You take it in balance and stride, you understand the pluses and the minuses, and you just make the right application, driven by the right motivation for its use. Androgens and estrogens may also be influenced by the consumption of marijuana. In chronic smokers, a condition known as amotivational syndrome, which I can certainly attest to, and I've seen it, and maybe, well, have I experienced that? Sure, because, you know, if you get stoned and smoke a joint, you want to relax. You don't want to necessarily work. Maybe you want to play some games or go for a walk, but it tends to take away the motivation to be physical, unless sex is what you consider being physical. So this amotivational syndrome can develop, and brain spectrometry studies of some chronic marijuana smokers show dramatic decreases in cerebral circulation. So again, you smoke this stuff, and is it the weed or the THC or the smoke? The combustion of the weed is probably doing the damage. Now, historically, cannabis has been long used as an intoxicating sedative and as a folk medicine. It's not a stimulant. It's a sedative substance. It mellows you out. It calms you down. In most cases, anyway. It was considered valuable as an analgesic, topical anesthetic, antispasmatic, antidepressant, appetite stimulant, anti-asthmatic, and an antibiotic. Various cultures have utilized cannabis for difficult childbirth, menstrual cramps, rheumatism, convulsions, earaches, fevers, dysentery, epilepsy, and insomnia. Reminds me of a girl friend that I knew in Hawaii. And her husband and I were good mates and trained together. But anyway, she got pregnant and had terrible nauseousness. And so she was a pot smoker and continued smoking all the way through her pregnancy, completely eliminated the nauseousness by the use of the smoke. And she had a beautiful baby, a healthy baby, without any evidence of damage whatsoever. So, you know, there's a lot of variables that go into an individual's health. And whether or not you smoke weed or drink is just one of those variables. You know, do you exercise? What's the quality of the food that you eat? Where do you live? You know, what's your genetic pool like? You know, there's a lot of variables to think about, your attitude, state of mind, etc., etc. In China, use of cannabis for medicine was recorded as early as 3750 BC. In India, cannabis is used in Ayurvedic medicine for the alleviation of migraine headaches and stomach spasms, to promote digestion, and to assist in the flow of urine. More recently, medical research has confirmed that THC is useful in lowering the internal eye pressure in glaucoma patients, alleviating the nauseousness and vomiting caused by chemotherapeutic drugs, and for treating high blood pressure, anxiety, Tourette syndrome migraine, ADHD, and various gynecological and menstrual problems. Many consider marijuana an aphrodisiac. Here's a physician, Dr. S. Manny, and co-workers from Baylor College of Medicine. He found that cannabis increased sexual behavior in female rats. THC acts on a brain receptor in combination with the female hormone progesterone and the brain chemical dopamine to stimulate sexual desire. Of course, the effects vary from one person to the next when used in an experimental fashion for this particular outcome. Certainly, we know that cannabis tends to expand our sensory organs, and our touch and feel and visual receptors are all enhanced. People like to go to concerts when they get stoned. They like to watch movies. So, you know, again, what is it about marijuana that is so threatening to people that don't know anything about it or are highly prejudiced against it? We know that marijuana is not physiologically addictive. That's a fact. It does not lead to physical dependence. Certainly, there appears to be people that are dependent on it, but it's not measurable. You can't validate that dependency by seeing a person who appears to be addicted to it. In fact, the research shows that it's not a substance that is physiologically addictive. There are no withdrawal symptoms when the drug is discontinued. However, that is sometimes not experienced in real life, because I do know people that have a desire to do something when they stop doing it. So is that a psychological dependence? That's really hard to define. There is such a thing as a cannabis psychosis, but this type of reaction is rare and is more commonly associated with heavy, long-term use of the more potent hashish. So again, hashish is very concentrated. You know, it's possible to even vomit if you smoke too much marijuana, but that's not common, and certainly it's by far more common to see people puking and dipping their head in the toilet bowl when they're over-consuming alcohol. In Arab countries, hash is commonly smoked in tea houses. In Fiji, the locals smoke ganja and combine the sedative effect with kava kava, which is a stimulant. So that's kind of a nice combination. In Nepal and India, hash is smoked through a chillum and consumed in various foods as an ingredient in barfi, laddu, sarabat, and a chewy green honey candy called majone. So these are these naturally occurring foods in that part of the world, which are commonly eaten as food. My experience in India was that cannabis and marijuana is part of the food chain that people actually have used for thousands of years and is used as a medicine to treat naturally some common ailments. In Thailand, buds are wrapped around a thin stalk of wood and sold as Thai stick. In Jamaica, it's called ganja, and the locals can probably outsmoke anybody under the table. I've never seen anyone smoke more weed than a Jamaican. I mean, they roll these great big fatties. It's unbelievable. And you know the term, don't bogart that joint? Well, that was invented in Jamaica, because when you roll that big cigar, you smoke it yourself, and you don't share it. But everyone's got a big fat one, and again, I've never seen anyone's capacity to inhale that much weed as a Jamaican in Jamaica. In BC, we have our own BC bud, considered by many to be second to none in terms of quality and potency. Like most drugs, marijuana is consumed in every country in the world and is taken into the body in a great variety of ways, depending on the culture and local tradition. Some cannabis users have reported a unique form of introspection paranoia, which apparently occurs only in the state of being stoned. One client described his experience this way to me. I'll be lying in bed just before falling asleep, and sometimes, not all the time, I'll start thinking of something that I'm secretly scared of, like flying or getting stuck in an elevator. As my mind begins to explore the possibility of such an event, a feeling of immense fear and paranoia suddenly rushes in that is so strong, it's like majorly overwhelming. I can hardly even bear it. I sort of go mental in my mind, like a panic attack or something like that. So I have to get up immediately and watch TV or go for a walk or do something else to distract my thoughts. It's like I'm a slave to a fear that isn't real and only imagined. But in my mind, when I'm having these thoughts, the thoughts are so real, it's hard to differentiate them from reality. After a while, it goes away and I'm fine, but every so often, it really throws me for a loop. Most of the time, after smoking a joint at night, I usually just pass out and go to sleep. So, you know, you may have heard people talk about this, or maybe you've experienced this yourself, that you get paranoid when you smoke marijuana. Now, was it that particular brand of marijuana? Was it the potency of the marijuana? Do you have the biochemistry and the genetics to tolerate this substance? That's the bottom line with anything you put in your body. You never know until you try, I guess, but I think it's important to initially study the research and look at what this stuff does and look at the risks and the costs and the benefits. The effects of cannabis depend on the variety and potency of the hemp plant and how it is consumed. Potency has increased over the years from 2 to 8% THC to as high now as 25%. I mean, the stuff on the market now is really potent, especially the hydroponic forms produced in grow-ups known as skunk weed or killer weed. Organic pot is becoming more popular for the same reasons that apply to organic produce. I mean, who wants chemicals and pesticides on their weed? Cannabis can be smoked, drunk, or eaten. There's a whole variety of ways to get it in the body. A newer, more modern method is called vaporization. Cannabis can be heated to a temperature of about 365 degrees Fahrenheit or 185 degrees Celsius, at which the active ingredients are released aromatically into a gaseous form with little or no burning of the plant material. This is a really cool method because the user does not inhale as much or any of the toxic chemicals depending on the quality of the vaporizer. We know marijuana is a mind-altering substance and THC is classified as an active hallucinogen. Although considered a depressant, THC can also act as a stimulant. It really depends on the person. Physical effects normally include a mild feeling of euphoria, increased sensory awareness, reddening of the eyes, dryness of the mouth and throat, drowsiness, and muscular incoordination. In some cases, motor skills improve when the element of fear is subdued or reduced in certain sports such as skiing or surfing. This type of fear is usually associated with risk of physical harm or possible injury. If the element of fear is reduced or eliminated by smoking weed, physical performance can actually improve. So, you know, like when you're skiing and you're looking down that slope and you're terrified of wiping out. I know of some people that when they smoke the weed, the fear is gone. They go down the hill like an expert, taking on those moguls, like it's unbelievable. But without the weed, they get tense, psychologically afraid, and sure enough, as soon as they go down the hill, they fall because they're afraid of falling. So that's a good example of how cannabis can improve performance, although even though it's forbidden to be used by Olympic athletes and in sports that keep track of doping agents, it's not perceived by these associations as a performing-enhancing substance. The reason that it's not allowed is because it's illegal. Cannabis modifies one's sense of one's environment. It can accentuate the outside world through its effect on the sensory organs or buffer one from certain emotional responses. Acute intoxication may induce visual hallucinations, anxiety, depression, paranoid reactions, and psychoses. Small regular doses have been reported to have no negative effect on the immune system or on physical performance. Many people report that cannabis acts as a general calming agent, a substance they consume on occasion, like wine, to take the edge off. It also is used to counter sleeplessness and physical pain. When studied from an IQ and performance point of view, those who smoke marijuana on a daily basis demonstrate attention deficits, reduced learning ability, lowered verbal fluency, and the inability to retain newly acquired information. Others do not. Memory retrieval can be a problem, hence the term only dopes smoke dope. Regular use may cause apathy and reduce motivation, especially in young people. Heavy use can reduce testosterone, thus cannabis can be viewed as a possible catabolic agent. However, it can also stimulate appetite, which supports growth in conjunction with training. For some, this can lead to nighttime overeating and problems with body composition management. Obviously, if you get the munchies and eat a bunch of junk food, it's not going to do your body composition or fat percentage any good. Sperm count can be affected, and when smoked, it can cause lung irritation and damage the lungs. Again, smoking marijuana, it's important to sip on filtered water to protect the throat from damage. If you have a smoke and then a sip of water, you can negate a lot of the potential damage that causes a drying out to the esophagus and a drying out of the mucal layer that lines the throat, and then the cilii get damaged by the high heat and the combustible materials. Long an advocate of controlling drug abuse through treatment and education instead of punishment, Canada is experimenting with new means for combating the social harm caused by illegal mind-altering drugs. One such initiative in the works includes decriminalizing the possession and use of small amounts of relatively harmless marijuana. In my mind, cannabis is not only harmless, but for many, highly beneficial. For others, it is simply not compatible with their physiology, moral position, genetics, religious perception, and all the other reasons that people have for taking it or not. But to me, it's not about whether you use it or not. It's about understanding the constitutional right of an individual to consume any substance they want. How can you actually, honestly tell someone what they cannot or can do to their own body? It's absolutely ridiculous to even try and legislate this. You know, it's like outlawing masturbation. I mean, how ridiculous can that be? And yet there are some people that would like to do that. Essentially, it's not what you put inside the body, inside the mind. It's where you are at inside to begin with. What really matters is how you act and behave, whether you're on something or not. It doesn't matter whether you're on alcohol, weed, cocaine, ecstasy, or just air. Whatever you're on or not on, it's not about whether you're on or not on something. That's the right that you have to take. It's how you act. It's how you behave. And we have to act civilly and respect ourselves and people around us. The fact that people are actually incarcerated for smoking or eating this simple plant that's been on the earth forever borders on the edge of total and complete insanity. It reflects an enormous state of prejudice and ignorance. How cannabis is legislated, controlled, and perceived by the world is a symbol of the state of the world that we live in. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from American author and commentator William F. Buckley, Jr. Even if one takes every reefer madness allegation of the prohibitionists at face value, marijuana prohibition has done far more harm to far more people than marijuana ever could.